The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, where we've got racing from Musselburgh, Lingfield and Chepstow in the afternoon, domestically Kempton in the evening, and an Irish meeting from Down Royal. You hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Sam Turner, John Babb and James Millman in the studio. So do make sure you join us for that. In the meantime, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me on Wednesday's edition of the podcast to take a look at some of the action is Ollie Pimlott. How are you today, Ollie?
Yeah, in good form, Sam. Really looking forward to today's racing.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's a decent day ahead. We're going to look at three from Musselburgh in due course on the podcast. But before we do that, we'll start with some of the racing news. Of course, the biggest news in the racing world over the last few days, the impending retirement of AP McCoy. But the retirement tour started well, landed the Hennessy Gold Cup in Leopardstown on Sunday, and a winner yesterday at Catrick as well.
Yeah, I was in the studio on Sunday, and what an incredible reception he got. It looks like he's going to get the same, because he got the same, albeit a sparser crowd at Catrick yesterday, but he got away with a winner. I think he's done the right decision by all accounts. Him and his agent, Dave Roberts, have sort of planned out where they'll be going, so all the courses can sort stuff out. I know Catrick did a fundraiser yesterday, which was just a life-size cutout of him, and that raised £600. So I think a lot of the other courses are going to do the same and sort of make the most of AP while we have him, because we've only got him, for another a month and a half, basically. So I think he announced the decision at the right time, not just to do it at the end of the season, that'd be it, because we all love him, don't we? He's the greatest we've ever seen, and everyone wants to pay tribute to him in some way. So it's good, I think, they've done it how they've done it. And I think it's just going to be an AP fan club at every meeting he goes now, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly will. He'll be the most popular winner on every card. Did it come as a surprise to you? Almost felt as though he was going to go on forever, didn't it?
In some ways, I think it did, but in other ways, his body's taken some serious batterings over the years. I think it was quite ironic how, after he won on Mr. Moll, his very next ride battered him at the very first hurdle in the Betfair hurdle on the Goodwood Mirage. So that is racing. I think that sort of sums up the game. And I think that'll... Maybe if he was thinking, have I made the right decision after winning on Mr. Moll very soon after, I think he'll have thought to himself, maybe I have,
Yeah, absolutely. So we look forward to seeing what little we've got left of AP. Elsewhere in the news, big feature this morning in the Post, Paul Nicholls talking up the chances of Sam Winner in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. He's a 33-1 shot with us here at William Hill. Obviously finished third in the Lexus, beating Carlingford Lock, who obviously won the Irish Hennessy at the weekend. Is he a serious Gold Cup contender for you?
I mean, Carlingford Lock is tens, isn't he now? He obviously finished fifth behind him in the Lexus when he was third. He's not a serious Gold Cup contender for me. I know Paul Nicholls has come out and said he will improve a lot for the run. He got stuck a little bit in the ground. And the Lexus was a bit of a messy race, wasn't it, obviously? Mm. Sylvain Jarco-Conti now is taking pretty much all of the market. I think here at Hills we're 9-1 barring Sylvain Jarco-Conti. And I think the second favourite is the Lexus winner, Road to Riches, who's thoroughly progressive. Who'd have thought, having won the Galway plate earlier in the season, that he'd be a second favourite for the Lexus, having been beat by Sizing Europe a little bit earlier in the season, who's obviously on the wane. So, very open Gold Cup market. We obviously saw Coney Gree as well, put his name into the hat at the weekend. I wouldn't be a big fan of a novice going into the Gold Cup. I think it's obviously took on seasoned campaigners at the weekend, but the likes of Hublon, Desorbo and Union East are very different, with no disrespect to the ones that he'll be taking on in the Gold Cup. So, if I was the Bradstock team, I still think I'd be edging towards the RSA. But he's a little bit of a spanner in the works now, because he's looked nothing but impressive. But can you win all out in a Gold Cup, making the running? That would be a big question for me. And obviously, Sylvain Jarco-Conti, I think they'll hold him up a little bit more, because when he did fall in the Gold Cup a couple of years ago under Ruby Walsh, he was tanking along. I think tactics regarding him can be versatile. And of course, it didn't look like he maybe got home last year. He was in front jumping the last him and Bobsworth and ended up out of the money. You can see why he said Sam Winner's been a little bit overlooked in the market at 33s, but I just don't think he's quite good enough for me. I think that Lexus run, albeit Paul Nicholson said he'd appreciate better ground and he would improve for the run, I still think he needs to find a little bit more. I still like the look of Lord Windermere.
Okay.
He's the same price as Holywell, and Holywell's got a huge amount more question marks over him than than Lord Windermere. I thought he ran a really good trial at Leopardstown at the weekend, where he's got a terrible record at Leopardstown. The last twice he's been to the festival, he's won the RSA and, of course, won the Gold Cup last year. And I still think he's a lively each-way chance. The worry is Jim Colotti's not had a winner since April, albeit with a limited number of runners. You'd like to have seen him get at least a couple of winners going into Cheltenham, but I still think he is the holder. On his own was a little bit disappointing. I think he gives too much away jumping out to his right. I think he'd be a lot better going the other way. And it was a very messy Gold Cup last year, so you can see why Paul Nicholls is saying somewhere at 33s is a bit of value, but I just don't think he'll be quite good enough on the day. I still think Lord Windermere, at a double-figure price, last year's winner, ran a really encouraging race at the weekend, could be a bit of value.
OK, fair enough. Then Lord Windermere, 14-1 at the time recording, and of course knows how to win at the festival, which is absolutely crucial. When you're looking at backing these, more festival news than price-wise. This morning I've put up Jolly Allen at 12-1 years now for the Supreme Novices. Of course, Duvan's price, it is getting a little on the skinny side now, Ollie, and people are starting to look elsewhere.
Yeah, and Duvan might not even go there. That,
yeah, big plunge on him for the Neptunes today.
Yeah, there has been, and he might jump ships here. I know he said Nichols Canyon could well go to the Supreme now, and he looked really impressive at the weekend, did Nichols Canyon. Alvisio Vio, who was a short price favourite, obviously got turned over by Nichols Canyon, the apparent second string. Alvisio Vio, I thought, shaped like the ground was a little bit quick. He looked a huge grey horse, isn't he? He'd only won a maiden hurdle going into that. And the fact the ground was quick at Leopardstown at the weekend, I thought he shaped like he wanted a bit further. I know he was a bit gassy early on. His inexperience caught him out a bit, but I thought he shaped like a Neptune horse. It'd be interesting if they jump ships with him.
Yeah.
Because obviously they've had a huge plunge on him for the Neptune. He could well maybe stick to 2 miles as he did at the weekend and go for the Supreme. So it's very hard to have a bet in the Supreme, obviously, is a hurdle at the minute because we're not non-runner, no bet.
Yeah.
We don't know where this Mullins battalion's going. And he's got Duvan, Nichols Canyon, Alvisio Veal, Shane's Hill, Tellers Moore, Outlander, McKinley, Morning Run, Black Hercules, who's, of course, a really good bump horse last year, Dicosimo, Sepra Medici, Alminabad, and Kalkir, who was turned over at the weekend, but it was a good performance. They're all still in the Supreme Novices hurdle. So before having an anti-post bet on this, I'd just like to know where the Mullins battalions are going. But you know for a fact, it's been confirmed, I think, yesterday by Harry Fry that Jolly Allen is on target for the race. I thought it was a really good run behind Garde la Victoire, who is, we all know, is a really decent 150-odd rated horse on testing ground, which Jolly Allen didn't appreciate. And he ran him close. So he was against an experienced campaigner in a good race. He did run him close at Sandown. I think he will be better on the good ground. And what a fairy tale it would be if AP won the first race at the festival, because you'd have to think he will take the ride on Jolly Allen in that race. So you can see why price-wise put him up. He's certain to go there, so at least you're going to get a run for your money. And he's bound to appreciate the better ground. And in hindsight, that looks an excellent run behind Garde la Victoire on ground he didn't appreciate. So yeah, you can see why price-wise put it up. I just wouldn't be touching the race before I know where William Mullins' horses are going to go. There's a few lively outsiders as well. Lamy Surge, who of course has been so impressive. He's looked the best of the British novices so far. He looked really impressive when beating Jolly's Cracked It last time. And you'd have to think he'd be better going left-handed, because he did jump out to his left at Sandown. So he's the best of the British. He is, again, a confirmed runner for the Supreme. And Kiwi was really impressive at the weekend for John Ferguson. We'll appreciate the better ground. It was pretty testing at Newbury at the weekend, as will Parlour Games, who I still think there's a question mark about, but he's done nothing wrong over hurdles so far. So there are a few lively British contenders, no more so than Lamy Surge, but I just have to wait and see where Mullins is going to run his horses and then make a decision on the day, because there's no doubt if Duvan does go for the Supreme, I think he'll be bigger than 2-1.
Yeah, okay.
For the first race, no doubt William Hill will be making all the enhancements.
Yeah, sure.
And I think he'll be a bigger price than 2-1 anyway on the day, and you're guaranteed a run. So at the minute, you can see why price-wise have put up Jolly Allen, bound to appreciate the ground. Really good run behind Garde la Victoire at Sandown. But it's a race I just wouldn't be playing before I know the runners.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, pretty sound advice there then going forward for the Supreme. We'll move ahead then to take a look at some of Wednesday's action. All three from Musselburgh on this edition of the podcast. And we start with the 140, the first race of the day from the Scottish venue. This one, a 3 mile, 3 furlong handicap chase. A class 5 contest with 5 of them lining up to contest this. Who do you like out of the quintet?
Yeah, well, we've gone from the Supreme Novices Hurdle to a 0-100 amateur riders handicap chase at Musselburgh. We couldn't go...
Takes all sorts.
Chalk and cheese, some would say. Bo Dandy is a last time out winner in this race. He is the top weight. He's blinkers and he's got earplugs. I was in the studio for that win. It wasn't the greatest of contests, as you can imagine, which he won last time. And I think he's worth taking on because he'd been knocking at the door without getting his head in front. Dermot O'Regan took the ride. Obviously, he can't in this because it's an amateur riders handicap chase. So the very capable John Dawson takes over. He used to be a conditional jockey now. Gone back to being amateur, was previously based with John Wade. I just think he could be worth taking on, Bo Dandy. He's got top weight. He's an infrequent winner. He's consistent, but I think there could be just a couple behind him. We've got 5 runners declared who might just have a little bit more up their sleeve, no more so than Debt to Society. Richard Ford makes a long trip up here. Harry Bannister, who's leading amateur this year, obviously riding a hell of a lot under rules as well. He takes the ride. So that's a really interesting jockey booking for one. And if you go back in his form long enough, he was second, obviously beaten a long way at Leicester last time on completely different ground to you imagine what you're going to get tomorrow, which is good. He has won. His best form has all come on good ground. And he seems to have... sank in the mud a little bit through the winter. We've not had the best of ground, but it's a long way to take him up to Musselburgh. It's a poor race, 0-100. You're taking on 4 of the horses here who have question marks, barring the favourite, but I think he's quite handicapped to his hilt now. So I'd be willing to take a chance with Debt to Society. Very positive jockey booking. All his best form is on good ground, and he showed his well-being on his unfavoured heavy ground, albeit beaten 11 lengths at Leicester last time. So he would be my selection in the first race at Musselburgh tomorrow. Debt to Society.
Okay, Debt to Society for Ali in that one then in the opener at Musselburgh. The next one on the card that we're going to take a look at is the 3:55. This one, a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Class 3 event, this one, with 7 of them down to go to post. Who makes the appeal here?
Yeah, it's a really interesting race. Good prize up for grabs. $6,500 to the winner here. We've got some experienced campaigners taking on one who could be well handicapped. That's Elbow, John Quinn's juvenile, who does so well with, won his first 2 starts and then was second back here at Musselburgh in probably a better race than this. Dougie Costlow takes over from James Reveley. He won on both his first 2 starts. James Reveley took over for the previous race at Musselburgh, but Dougie Costlow back on board. So you'd have to think, given he's won on it twice, would be an advantage. The favourite is obviously the one you've got to bear into account here. Streets of New York has been very, very progressive for the Brian Ellison team. Danny Cook is back on. And he ran a really good race last time out at the track behind Retrieve. He was only beaten one the quarter length staff day, albeit off bottom weight. But that was a 0-145. This is 0-125. So you'd have to think he's well handicapped still, Streets of New York. Danny Cook has won on this gelding twice now. And I think he is certainly the one to beat in this one. It's a shame we've only got the 7 runners because Dart Dune would interest me each way. William Eastby yet to have a winner against professionals, but has had a lot of point-to-point winners for his dad. And Dart Dune, again, has been thoroughly consistent, only beaten 3.5 lengths, behind local hero, the Steve Gollings runner at Catrick. That was in soft in January, AP Road for Steve Gollings that day. And local hero, I know Steve Gollings thinks a lot of it, so that's pretty decent form. And prior to that, he was second as well. It might just be the fact he's a little bit high in the handicap. Will Easterby has finished second on this horse on its penultimate start. Danny Cook rode it at Catrick, but Will is back on board, takes 7 off top weight, and he could be one for each way. So I'd maybe take 2 against the favourite here. Elbow, if he's an each way price, I'd say it'd be around about the 3-1 mark because he's the least exposed of the field. First time handicapping, probably in a better race last time, and he won his first 2 starts, one of them at Musselburgh. In very convincing style. Dougie Costlow back on board, won on it twice, is obviously a positive. And I like Dark Dune, he's the consistent one. He's only still 7 years of age. I thought it was a really good run behind local hero, beaten 3.5 lengths at Catrick last time. Will Easterby's been second on the horse on his penultimate start, and he takes a valuable 7 off the top weight. So I think Streets of New York is obviously the one to beat, but might be worth taking him on with 2 runners who might be quite still well handicapped in Dark Dune and Elbow.
Okay, a couple of horses to think about then in that one for Ollie. We'll move to the final race on Wednesday's podcast at 4:25. This one is a hunter's chase, 2.5 miles the trip. It's a class six event with 13 of them down to go to post. Who's catching the eye here?
It's a really interesting hunter's chase. Very competitive. We saw a very competitive race at Bangor, obviously, on Friday, where we saw T for Three go in.
Probably the best class six I've almost ever seen.
Yeah, we had 18 declared, and I think 13 of them were rated 120 or more. I think there's clearly a problem with the races for these older veteran horses.
Yeah, sure.
120 to 140. We saw a really good veterans chase at Exeter on Sunday. I think more of these should be put on, because where do you go with the horses rated 120 to 140? A lot of these are long in the tooth, 10, 11 years old, handicapped to the hilt. There's not a great deal of races for them, and people, for instance, are running for 1,800 quid to the winner here, and a lot of these are rated 115 or better. It's probably one of the weaker hunter chases we've seen so far this season.
Sure.
So I do think something needs to be done about providing races for these older horses, because I think trainers are thinking, well, I'm going to have to go hunter chasing with them because we've no other option. We're too high handicapped. If we stayed under rules. So I think something needs to be done about that. But again, this is really competitive.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It was so good, I think, that Bangor race. It actually made the front page of the Post last week.
Yeah, it did.
How often do you see a classic?
Well, we had David Loder, Group 1 winning, trainer with runners, Henrietta Knight with Calgary Bay.
Zara Phillips had one, which
unfortunately had to be euthanized. So, we had a lot of big names in the Hunter's Chase.
Absolutely. And, this 4:25 at Musselburgh, another Hunter's Chase. Anyone really standing out here?
Well, I think John Ferguson's thought to himself what we've just been talking about with Dreamy George here. He's pulled up on his last two starts. Probably thinks he's too high in the handicap off 118. His son, James Ferguson, takes 7 off. Cheap pieces first time. And it's probably not that bad a horse he bumped into when he was pulled up last time. This was in at Cheltenham in October. A certain young master, who of course has gone up about 30-odd pounds since. So he did bump into one there, albeit he was pulled up, and he was pulled up on his penultimate start. But prior to that, he'd shown some really decent form, and he's maybe just lost his way. John Ferguson, I think, has thought probably a little bit too high in the handicap. James can claim 7 off him. Cheap pieces first time. Good ground, which you're going to get at Musselburgh. He obviously sets the standard. 2.5 miles should be right up his street as well, dropping back from 3 miles one. The two which I would probably take against the favourite, which I presume will be Dreamy George. Walden, he's going to be in for favouritism as well. He was second behind a really good horse of Rose Loxton's, current event over 3 mile one here at Musselburgh earlier in January. I think it's a big drop back in trip.
Yeah.
Dropping back from 3 mile one to 2 mile four, they're going to go a hell of a lot quicker. Walden has never won over 2.5 miles either in the Hunter Chase sphere, so I think he's one to be taken on. Looking at the tissue, he's going to be made about favourite. So the one I'm going to take him on with, the couple I'm going to go with, is Drom. He was a really good point-to-pointer, mostly in Yorkshire last season. Still seems to be progressing. Front runner, Emma Todd rides this. She claims 7. She's had a couple of winners under rules as well. And he won a Hunter Chase as well last season. So Drom could be one to look at a bigger price around about the 10-1 mark. And the other would be the last time out winner, Now You're Hurling. Used to be trained by Donald McCain. Nick Orpwood is one of the leading riders this season in Scotland. I think he's nearly on the 10 winner mark already, so he's very capable and doing really well this season. And it won very convincingly, beating Darcy Dancer at Kelso over 2.7 miles. That was on heavy. A little bit different ground to contend with here, but does have winning form on the better ground. So I think Dreamy George and Walden will be your two favourites here, but might just be worth taking on with two bigger prices. One with last time out winning form with Now You're Hurling, and one Drawn, who, albeit being 12, could still be improving a little bit because he had a fantastic season last year, won 5 point-to-points and a Hunter Chase. So he could still be one with a little bit of improvement in him, albeit at the age of 12. So I think Dreamy George, worthy favourite, but worth taking on with a couple of bigger priced runners. Probably my main selection would be Now You're Hurling.
Okay, fair enough. And plenty to think about there. Ollie, if you could just please spin us through one more time your three best selections for Musselburgh racing on Wednesday.
Yeah, so in the middle race there, the 3:55, I'm going to go with Elbow. In the first race at Musselburgh, I'm going to take on the favourite, and I'm going to go with Debt to Society for the Ford-Bannister combination. And in the 4:25, The Hunter Chase, I'm going to go with Now You're Hurling.
Okay, excellent stuff. Then there we are, the thoughts of Ali Pimlott ahead of Wednesday's action. You'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon with Sam Turner, John Babb and James Millman guiding you through the cards at Musselburgh, Lingfield, Chepstow, Kempton in the evening, and there's an Irish meeting at Down Royal as well. Thank you very much for joining me today, Ollie, and good luck with those picks on Wednesday.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.